And we're with Maurice Cotterell. His latest work is called The Heavenly Matchmaker. He's telling us how to stay out of hell and how to get into heaven. Pretty good advice. But we'll be back with his calls with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Maurice Cotterell with us. His latest book is called The Heavenly Matchmaker. His website, mauricecotterell.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Maurice, we didn't touch on the time aspect of keeping us out of hell and into heaven. What does time have to do with it?
Well, it's a very clever mechanism which is essential to the operating of hell and purgatory. See, when the universe began, there was no such thing as time.
Right.
The only thing that existed then was God, energy or light. Then when God sacrificed himself and the physical universe was created, events begin to transpire. Some things happened before other things and some things after other things. Time began when the physical universe was created. Time exists in the physical world, but not in the spiritual world. The physical body grows old, but the soul inside does not. The soul inside feels the same at the age of 8 as it does at the age of 80. In the physical world, time speeds up when we're happy and slows down when we're bored or unhappy, which means that no one in purgatory can be happy for very much time, which explains why everyone in hell is unhappy. And that's why it's one of the, I've labeled it as one of the key mechanisms which enable the smooth running of hell, which is all around us.
Interesting take there. And the reincarnation portion, how does that work?
Okay. With the reincarnation, as I mentioned earlier, we're trapped in an elevator. You know, I witnessed a reincarnation about 20 years ago, just before I came to Ireland. And I know it works. I've witnessed it myself, and my wife was there. And what happened was, just before I came to Ireland, I got a word from an uncle up north in the north of England, who's a Freemason. I'm not, by the way. And he said that my aunt, who was a ballet dancer, wasn't very well, and she was going to a hospice. And would I like to see her before we go to Ireland? And I said, yes. I said, you know, we'll be up in 3 days' time. Well, he called me 2 days later and said she'd died.
Oh, geez.
And she was 69 at that time. So I'm going back 20 years now. Anyway, it was an unusually eventful day. We set off from Coombe Farm in Cornwall, where I lived, which was just about half a mile from the Tamar Bridge, which joins the two southwestern counties of Cornwall and Devon together. And it was dark, it was icy, it was December 18th, something like that. And we got onto the Tamar Bridge, and they were doing roadworks on the bridge, and they had two cantilevered extra lanes, one thrown over the left-hand side of the bridge for traffic in one direction, while they dug up the main bridge, and one cantilevered section thrown over the other side. Well, so as soon as we got onto this cantilevered section, at 6 o'clock in the morning on the 18th of December, it was cold, it was icy, it was a long way down to the water below. I put my hand through the steering wheel and pressed the button for the odometer so that I could see how many miles it was going to take to drive up north. I estimated it would take about 6 hours, because it was about 300 miles or thereabouts. Anyway, I thought, this isn't a very clever thing to do, put your arm through a steering wheel.
No, if you have to turn, something could happen bad.
Exactly. So anyway, I pulled my hand away. Unfortunately, there was nothing untoward happened. Anyway, we got up to the north of England, and we went to the funeral, and all the family were there, and I walked in, and my uncle was there. And he said, you know, would you like to come into the parlor and see the body? Well, of course, my wife, Anne, said, pulled me on my arm and said, yes, let's go in. So we went in. And I'd never seen a dead body before, strangely enough. I mean, then I was 48 years old. And she was lying in the coffin. As I say, she used to be a ballet dancer. She's quite petite. And she had her arms folded across her chest like Tutankhamun, if you like, where one hand was folded the other, and the thumbs were twisted together to make a square, which must have been part of some sort of Freemason initiation or ritual. And I noticed the look on her face, and it was like her mouth had a downward smile to it, like an upside-down U shape. And something was going in my head all the time. It's only a body. It's only a body. It's only a body. And I just couldn't understand it. Anyway, so after a few minutes, we went into the living room, and we met the family. And she had two sons. And the third son wasn't there. I said, where's the third son? And they said, oh, he'll be here in a few minutes. He's just coming from the hospital. I said, the hospital? Yeah, oh, his wife's just had a baby.
Oh, my gosh.
That's interesting. Anyway, a few minutes later, they arrive, and she comes straight from hospital. She had the baby 3 hours earlier.
And she left the hospital that day, right, that moment.
That moment. Had a shower, got dressed, came over to the house, put the baby on a caracot in the living room, which is the wall separated the parlor from the living room with a 4-inch brick wall. So the baby's head was 4 inches away from the grandmother's head, who was dead in the coffin.
Oh, my God.
And I was looking at the baby, and I thought, it was a bit peculiar. I thought, well, I can see the family resemblance because he looks like his grandmother. And I thought, isn't that strange? And I thought nothing of it. And he was really quiet, sitting in his caricot by the wall. Never squeaks, this baby. And I was speaking to the mother, and I said, I think it's a bit strange how she went into the hospice and died so suddenly. She said, well, yeah, she said, I saw her at home, and she wasn't that bad. You know, I came over to see her. Of course, I was expecting the baby. I couldn't stay long.
Right.
I said, yeah. I said, so you came over 9 months pregnant and sat down next to her. She said, yes. She said, and then when I went to the hospice, it was as though she was half dead. It's as though she collapsed overnight. And I said, yes. She said, and then I went on the third day later, and she died there and then. And I thought, that's strange, isn't it? And then we went, you know, we all went to the church service, and in the service, it was from Ecclesiastes, which Freemasons revere, because it teaches us in the Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes, teaches us all about how we should live and how we should behave and so on. And then from there we went to the crematorium because she was cremated. And then as she went into the crematorium, Swan Lake played on the music because she was a ballet dancer. And afterwards, the get-together after the funeral, I said to the mother, I said, it's a bit odd that she died so quickly, given that she was healthy. She said, well, they said she had asbestosis from when they ripped the boiler out a few years earlier in the ballet school where she taught. Anyway, I said, okay, well, we've got a six-hour drive back, so we left and we drove back home. And we got lost on the way. Around Birmingham, we got lost for about half an hour. We were going round and round in circles. And this is important. And eventually we got back on the motorway south to the southwest of England. And what do I do when I cross the Tamar Bridge on the way back home, just half a mile from home? What do? I looked at the odometer to see how many miles it was. And it was 666 miles.
Jeez.
So I said, look at the odometer. And she just gasped. She couldn't believe it. I said, this is weird. Anyway, we got home a few minutes later. I had a couple of whiskeys, went to bed, tried to sleep, couldn't sleep, tossing and turning, in a bit of a sweat. And all the pieces came together, and I sat up in bed. I said, do you realize what's just happened? I said, what happened was the mother sat down with my aunt, and the baby stole half of her soul because she wasn't sick, and the soul was trying to escape from the body, and the baby acquired the soul. That's why the baby in the caricot had the same expression on its face, the downward sloping mouth, and his thumbs were even clenched together.
But she said the baby stole the soul?
The baby stole the soul of her grandmother. So her grandmother reincarnated as her own granddaughter.
Was she blaming the baby for all of this?
No, this is what happens in reincarnation. This is how reincarnation works. When somebody is pregnant, the baby, just before it's born, steals a soul from somebody who's sick and weak and can't hold on to their soul anymore. This is what we call life.
Jeez.
So then what happened was, when you charge up a capacitor, it charges up in what they call CR seconds, capacitance times resistance seconds, or five. It's fully charged in 5 times CR seconds. You can calculate it, which is an exponential charging curve. It charges up a lot in the first second, half as much in the second second, and so on, until it's fully charged. The second time she went to see her mother-in-law, pregnant, the baby downloaded another quarter of the soul. And finally, when she went the last time, the baby downloaded the third download of information. And so her entire soul was in the baby, which she brought over to the funeral. And the soul was still moving from the grandmother at that time. It was still moving across the wall into the baby. And the baby had the same expression on its face.
That's dramatic. Let's take some calls here for you, Maurice. That's incredible. What a story that is. My God. Let's go to Monique in Sunland, California to get things started. Hi, Monique.
Hi, George and Maurice. What a great topic you have tonight. I have two questions. And by the way, I've been seeing that 666 number, Maurice, during this pandemic. I've also seen some good numbers, but I have seen that.
Yeah.
My first question is regarding the electromagnetic frequency or what you're calling it. What are you calling it? EMF? What are you calling it, Maurice?
Electromagnetic energy or just voltage.
Thank you. So what my question is, with all the cell signals out here in the world, you know, it has affected us to an extent. And now 5G is rolling out. How do you feel that this is going to affect us, not just on a physical level, but what you're talking about on a spiritual level? That's my first question.
All right. We'll come back to the second one when he's done. Go ahead, Maurice.
Very interesting, Monique. Interesting question. Well, we are made 75% of water, and water is hydrogen and oxygen. So every human being vibrates at the hydrogen frequency, which is 1.42 gigahertz. Now, so we are actually getting bigger and smaller 1.42 billion times every second. We're actually vibrating. And this is why sometimes if you go out with a friend, for example, to a dance, and you say, cool, isn't that girl lovely? And your friend says, no, I don't like her. Because what your friend is seeing and what you are seeing are totally different. They're 1.42 billionths of a second different. You might be seeing the girl when she's big, when she's expanded, and your friend might see her a billionth of a second later when she's shrunk, when she's small. So you're actually seeing different things at different times.
Like the movie Shallow Hell.
I'm not familiar with that one, George, but I'm sure you get what I'm trying to say.
Exactly.
Okay, now what this does tell us, Monique, is that, like Tesla tried to tell us, is that AC magnetic waves are not very dangerous because we've evolved with AC. What is very dangerous is DC, and I've done experiments on my own. Because I had leaky gut disease, because I had low cortisol, which was caused by stress. In other words, the stress caused leaky gut disease. Leaky gut disease allows toxins into the body. The toxins strip off the myelin sheathing in the body. The nerves in the body, without the insulation, short out, causing tremendous pain, and the toxins damage the endocrine organs, including the adrenal glands, which affects the amount of cortisol. So because I've got the adrenal glands are now damaged, I have to take cortisol supplementation. Now, I tried putting a magnet on the pituitary gland in the brain just for a few seconds. I tried all sorts of experiments. Then I went for a blood test, had a proper blood test, complete blood test with all the hormones, all the chemistry, all the blood parameters and so on. What I found was that the cortisol doubled after I put a DC magnet, a small magnet, on the top of my head for about 2 seconds.
Wow, that's amazing. That's incredible.
It is amazing. It doubled. The day after I took it, it doubled. What this means is electric cars with a large DC magnetic field, because they run off batteries, are far more dangerous than mobile phone masts and AC waves, which we've evolved with.
Interesting point.
So, yeah, in answer to your question, Monique, my own view is, although mobile phones cook your brain, and that affects the hypothalamus and the chemistry of the body and can cause all sorts of problems like cancer, the real thing we have to watch out for is DC magnetism, which does affect cortisol, and cortisol affects melatonin, the timing hormone in your biorhythms. That affects your propensity for cancer and all kinds of things like that.
Let's go back for her second question. Go ahead, Monique.
Okay, thank you, Maurice, and say no to 5G. My second question is with regards to love and how that gets you to heaven. Well, I noticed that I'm the type of person who's an activist, if you couldn't tell already. And I notice some people in the spiritual community, they kind of shy away from causes because they just want to be zen, so to speak. But what do you feel that when you speak out, when you're trying to help other people, don't you feel that that's also another form of love and, you know, wanting to have justice without hate, of course? Wouldn't that also be a form of love?
Of course, when we try to help other people, of course it's love. That's spiritual love, as I mentioned earlier, which is a sincere and genuine wish for the intellectual, physical, and spiritual well-being of another living thing. That's true love, not the romantic love, which is driven by lust and the senses. You see, the senses betray us. I have a friend, a very good friend, who's blind. Now, when I walk down the street and I see an attractive woman, I think, cool, she's attractive. So I have bad thoughts. When my friend who's blind walks down the street, he doesn't have bad thoughts because he can't see her, because his eyes are not betraying him like mine are. So our senses, sight, sound, touch, taste, and smell, they all betray us. We think they're good in hell, but of course everything in hell, what we think is good, actually becomes bad. What we think is bad actually becomes good. And this is the illusion of hell. This is why the Maya, the word Maya means illusion in Sanskrit language, ancient Indian language. And they're trying to tell us that everything we see around us is illusion. And it is. Every blade of grass has a soul. Every tree has a soul. You can come back as a tree or a blade of grass or a chicken or a cockroach, depending on how low or high your voltage is. If you're a high voltage soul, you'll come back as a high voltage person. And if you love and love and love and love, then you'll get to the top floor of this tall building. You'll be able to get to the helicopter and escape to heaven. But if you don't love, 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 and love, then what happens is you'll be up and down, up and down, up and down, from the 50th floor to the 10th floor, the 40th floor to the 3rd floor. You'll be going up and down for 1,000 years, 100,000 years, 200,000 years. The soul will never escape from planet Earth. Some souls, some people we know, are only as old as their body. Other people that we talk to are hundreds of years old, their soul, and others are thousands of years old. And the zodiac, we progress through the zodiac 70 years every time as a human being. If we live an average life where we don't hurt anybody and we don't love anybody, then it's logical that we come back the same as what we left as. So we don't go up and we don't go down. So if we come back every 70 years as a human being, it's going to take, for example, 11 times 70 years, 770 or 800 years or whatever, to come back. What I've understood is, as a Pisces, which is a sign of death, the last sign of the zodiac, so we're going to come back as a different star sign commensurate to our last life on Earth and to the karma we've accumulated during our previous lives.
And, Maurice, do you think hell is full of fire and brimstone or something else?
The actual hell itself is the fire of the sun. What happens is, when we enter the sun, if we're really bad people, then we can't, even when the soul leaves the body, it can go negative. The soul can actually go negative voltage rather than the positive voltage of God. Don't forget, the body's negative, but the voltage inside is positive because that's God. So if you've got a 5-volt negative baby, you've got a 5-volt positive soul. So when the soul escapes, some voltages can go negative. For example,
hold on, Maurice. Hold on. We're already at the break. Fast night. We'll be back. Next hour, William Forstin joins us as we get updates on how we're going to protect our power grid, because if that goes, everything goes. We'll be back in a moment with Maurice Cotterell and final phone calls with him, with his book, The Heavenly Matchmaker, as well. And welcome back to our final segment with Maurice Cotterell, The Heavenly Matchmaker. Maurice, where do people get your book, by the way?
They can get it directly off my website, George.
Excellent. We've got that linked up for everybody at coasttocoastam.com. So how did you start investigating this particular topic? What was it that you saw that got you to do that?
Well, it was many years ago, George. I was a radio officer on board ship many years ago when I first left college. And the ship would sail from, when I noticed that when the ship sailed from north to south, that the crew behaved quite comfortably and relaxed. But when we were going east to west, they were quite fractious and argumentative.
Huh.
At the same time, the first voyage was around Cape Town. We were going to the Persian Gulf from the UK, so we had to go around Cape Town. And it was very difficult to contact the UK by radio because it was a sunspot maximum. And when it's a sunspot maximum, the upper atmosphere becomes very ionized and agitated by the solar radiation. And it's very difficult for the radio waves to bounce off the sky, which they normally do on shortwave radio, to propagate. So I became very interested in, on the one hand, sunspot cycles, which come and go every 11 and a half years or thereabouts, and human behavior. And I started to think perhaps that the 11 and a half year cycle could have something to do with the 12-year Chinese astrological cycle, because we were very close. So as time progressed, I decided to have a look at the personalities of the people on board the ship, because in the radio office we kept a list of all the crew and their birthdays and all their personal information and so on, so I could analyze the personalities and see when any particular star sign fell out with another one, how long it would take, you know, how many days, how many weeks. I did it very systematically, and it was all very interesting information. And I discovered that there had to be some mechanism of the sun that caused the changes in personality that we see around us that astrologers have recognized for thousands of years. So I looked at the sun in detail. I bought books on astronomy and on solar physics and stuff like that. And it very quickly occurred to me that the sun, because the sun spins every 28 days at the equator of the sun, it showers the Earth with particles every 7 days. But the north pole of the sun spins every 37 days on the surface of the sun. And what that means is, if you look at these two different rotation rates for the equator and the polar fields, we can see that they mix together, and the north pole field of the sun burns out one of the seven-day sectors of the equatorial sun. And what that means is it results in four types of radiation coming off the sun, four different codes of radiation. And these are the codes that give rise to earth, air, fire, and water.
Uh-huh.
Those codes of radiation, the radiation travels to the earth, gets caught up in the Van Allen radiation belts. They go up and down every 1 second. The magnetic field of the earth changes, and all the sperms and the ovums that are coming together at that time, the genes get shuffled up to create a unique personality. So it's not just four codes, because what we have is, if you like, fire, earth, air, and water for 4 months. And then, of course, because the sun's gone round once, it repeats fire, earth, air, water. And then after 8 months, it repeats again, because the sun spins a third time, fire, earth, air, and water. So what we find is we finish up with four fires, four earths, four airs, and four waters. Now, the astrologers say, because of the radiation, that the earth and the water get along with each other. In other words, the riverbank and the water are made for each other, and the fire and the air are made for each other, because the air helps the fire to burn. And this is how astrology came around, because ancient wise men noticed different types of personality depending on which type, what time of the year certain signs are born.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, what I show is that astrology is caused by radiation at the time of conception, not birth. But birth is connected to conception. The radiation at conception causes the fetus to attach to the womb wall. The radiation 275 days later at birth causes the fetus to leave the womb and give off hormones and put the woman into labor, the mother into labor. And so the moment of conception is related to the moment of birth. So it's you can use either the moment of birth or the moment of conception. There is a correlation, 100% correlation between the two. So once I realized how the sun was causing these different types of personalities, I then went on, once I'd figured out the 12 months, I then went on to the 12 years and did some, I was working at, I then left the sea because satellites came along and radio officers were made redundant. So I went back. I then got a job at Cranfield University as head of electrical and communications engineering.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things I had to look after was the broadband for the campus broadband network. So I had a lot to do with the computer center, which used the broadband. And I said to one of the girls, I said, no, I've got a problem. I've tried to solve graphically, and I'm not sure how to do this mathematically yet, but I'm sure we can do it graphically on the massive mainframe computer. So she said, what do you want me to do? I said, look, the north pole of the sun spins around once every 37 days. The equator of the sun spins around every 26 days, 28 days if you're on the Earth. And the Earth goes around the sun every year, every 365.25 days. Can you draw me a graph of how they come together and go apart, a graph of the magnitude between the two? And I explained what I wanted and how she had to do it, and she did. And I came up with a long graph. And at the end of it, this long graph told me that the sun's magnetic field reversed every 1,366,040 days. And that number was worshipped by the Maya in Mexico. And, of course, which raised the question of, how could they have known 1,250 years ago what I've only just discovered on one of the biggest computers in the UK?
Right. You've got all the technology. They had nothing.
They had nothing, exactly. So I decided to go down to Palenque, the ceremonial center of the Maya, and study the tomb of Lord Peikau. Now, Peikau is very similar to the word Pascal, and Pascal in Hebrew is Pasak, which refers to the Passover. And Jesus died at Easter. So what you find is people born at Easter, for example, in Catholic countries like Ireland, they're often called Pascal. That's the name of somebody who's born at Easter in Ireland.
And Peikau's the one sitting in what looks like a spaceship, right?
Well, that's what some people say. I mean, there are other interpretations of what the carving suggests, but I didn't go down with it looking for sensationalism or anything like that. I tried to look at it objectively and scientifically, and I knew that people are skeptical of anything new in science. That's the way hell works. If it wasn't that way, we wouldn't be in hell. Hell is designed to make sure nobody can change it. That's why Jesus was nailed to the cross. That's why William Tyndale, who translated the Bible in 1536 from the Greek and the Hebrew into English, was burned at the stake for heresy. Anybody who tries to change the world, who tries to give this knowledge to the general public, will always be crucified or murdered.
Oh, my God, absolutely. Ed, let's take a few calls, Maurice, before we run out of time here.
Sure.
First-time caller, Ed in Alabama. Welcome to the show. Edward, go ahead.
Oh, George, I'd like to just thank you for all the years that you've given me of peace, and I've listened to you for 17 years when you first started.
Many more for both of us, Ed, okay? Many more.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I'm calling about Lunars I'm Cursed. I was born on April 15th, 1966, and I'm 54. And a year ago, on April 15th, my father died. And then this past week, on April 15th, my mom died.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry to hear that. Can he be cursed, Maurice, because of these numbers?
Cursed? What do you mean by cursed, George?
Bad luck? Something evil happens to him all the time?
I don't think it's that. I think people are trying to talk to us using numbers. You see, this is how the ancients encoded the information into their treasures. If you're going to leave information behind, or if you're trying to communicate with somebody, it's no good using language over long periods of time, because language disappears. For example, the Quiche Maya in Mexico used to speak Quiche Maya language, but then the Spanish came along, killed a lot of them, and now they speak Spanish. So you can't rely on language over long periods of time to transfer knowledge or information. So the best way to transfer information is either through pictures, because a picture is worth 1,000 words, and a picture means the same to everybody, or through numbers, because we've all got 10 fingers, so we can all count to 10, and we've all got 10 toes, so we can all, if we wish, count in 20s, so we can count in 10s or 20s. And we all understand what numbers mean. Even if you don't speak the language, you can write down a number and people understand what it means. So Just as the odometer on the Tamar Bridge said 666, somebody was trying to tell me something. There's somebody out there trying to communicate with us, but only some of us are sensitive enough to pick up this information. Now, Edward tells us that his father died on his own birthday. This often happens. Very often, people who die, women who die in childbirth come back as themselves. They give birth to the baby, and the soul of themselves comes back in the baby. So they get a new body straight away. We see this all the time when people are murdered or whatever, or they die when they're pregnant. They come back as themselves. They simply get a new body. And so when the baby's born, people say, isn't she like her mother? It is her mother. It's the same soul. It's just a different lump of meat. The body is just a physical lump of meat. The body is not the soul. We are not our body. The body is just an overcoat for 70 years that we wear. So, thinking about Ed, he says he was born on April the 15th, which is the sign of Aries. But it doesn't mean Ed is an Aries. A lot of people, excuse me, a lot of people don't understand that it's not the date you're born, it's the date you conceive. Now, the UK Perinatal Institute says that only 60% of babies are born within 7 days of the due date of delivery, which is calculated as 280 days from the last day of the last period, rather than 273 days following conception. And that's because we often don't know when conception took place. What this does mean is that 40% of babies are not born within 7 days of when they should be. So some babies are born in Aries, so if they're born, for example, 7 days early, they should have been a Taurus. Some babies are born in Aries, and if they were born 7 days late, they should have been born a Pisces. Which is, and of course, a Pisces is totally different to an Aries. And of course, an Aries is totally different to a Taurus. It's not just a little bit different, they're totally different. And this is why statistical investigations into astrology has failed, because I can tell a star sign by looking at their hands, their lips, their teeth, their mouth. I can know most star signs straight away, and yet people go through their whole life saying, I think astrology is rubbish because I'm nothing like that. And they're nothing like it because they were either born early or late or because their mother was in a tin can when she was conceived. What do I mean by a tin can? She could have been shielded by the sun from the sun's radiation in an aircraft, in a car, on the subway. She could have, you know, we've done experiments to show that the solar radiation does not permeate very far underground, centimeters, certainly not millimeters. And we've performed experiments that show it. There was one in New Times in 1987 where an Italian girl called Fellini was put underground for months, and her menstrual cycle stopped, which it would do because the sun regulates menstruation. The sun spins every 28 days. If you don't have the sunshine, you won't have menstruation. If you don't have the sunshine, you won't have, and you're pregnant, you won't have the star sign you think you're going to have.
Next up, let's go to April in Pyrrhus, California, west of the Rockies. Hi, April.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Let's squeeze you in. We only have 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to get some general advice from Maurice about everything that's going on right now, the craziness of the world, and I just feel like there's a lot of negative stuff going on and maybe some biblical stuff going on, and I want to be wise and make sure that I'm on the right path and don't fall into bad influences.
What do you think of all this hysteria, Maurice? It's crazy.
No, it's hell. We're living in hell. Now, I mentioned earlier that of five mechanisms in hell, which regulates the activities in hell, and one of them, pain, is a key factor in purgatory. For example, natural disasters, insects, disease, and old age all bring pain. A broken heart brings emotional pain. A nervous breakdown brings intellectual pain. And guilt brings spiritual pain. So we've got to have pain because pain purifies the heart. If you ever see pictures of Jesus, he's pointing to his pure heart and light coming out of his heart. And that's because pain purifies the heart. When we're in pain, we question, the brain questions, why am I in pain? The heart, which is suffering, can't understand it. So the heart and the and the mind go into a conversation, and they go into a wrestling match with each other. The heart can't understand it. The brain tries to understand it. And the brain squeezes the heart and purges the heart. And as this purging goes on in purgatory, then the voltage, the bad voltage contained in the heart from previous lifetimes is squeezed out, just as like wringing a wet.
Well, you're right about one thing, Maurice. We are living a living hell. Maurice's book is called The Heavenly Matchmaker. Up next, Bill Forsten joins us. We're going to talk about protecting the power grid. Then we've got a nice little surprise for you in the last hour of the show.